Another glum thing was that Cassie left the following evening. I hate to lose a good mistress just when I'm getting the taste of her. However, they said it wasn't safe for her to remain so near the Ohio, and an underground railroad man was to take her to Canada. We didn't even have the chance of a lusty farewell, for when she came to say goodbye, looking uncommonly demure in a drab brown gown and poke bonnet, Mrs. Payne was on hand to see fair play. I gathered she hadn't realized I'd done my level best to desert her on the far bank of the Ohio, for she thanked me very prettily for all my help, while Mrs. Payne stood nodding, severe approval.
"There," says she, "I think you may kiss your deliverer's hand, child."
I wouldn't have been surprised if Cassie had burst out laughing, but she did something that horrified Mrs. Payne. She gave me a long, fierce kiss on the mouth, while her chaperone squawked and squeaked and eventually bustled her away.
"Such liberties," cries she, "these simple creatures, my child, this—"
"Goodbye," says Cassie. And that was the last I ever saw of her, or the $2,000 we had had between us. Ah, well, I've no doubt she put it to good use, and it had been paid for her anyway. So it was when my rump had healed, Judge Payne brought along the marshal, and with much hand-clasping and cheek-kissing and hallelujahs, I was dispatched to continue God's work. I won't bother you with the journey to New Orleans. Sufficient to say that the marshal, a decent enough fellow called Cottrell, watched over me like a mother over a chick, and delivered me into the care of Captain Bailey, USN, a very bluff gentleman, who shook me cordially by the hand and said they were glad to see me safe and sound. "The past few months are a closed account to me, sir," says he. "One hears about outlandish things like underground railroads and whatnot, but that's nothing to the point. What I know is that facing me now is a brother officer who is going to give evidence on behalf of the U.S. Navy against slave runners. Capital work." I made one last effort to wriggle free. "Is my evidence so necessary, sir? Surely these Balliol College people can be convicted—"
"Convicted," says he. "Why, we're a long way short of that.
You know the procedure, sir. When a slave trading ship is captured, she must first of all be adjudged to be a slaver. So it is not until the Balliol College has been condemned by our court of adjudication that her master and crew may be charged with slave trading. So far, then, we follow the same course as your own mixed commission courts at Havana and elsewhere, but here, sir, there are much more powerful interests involved. New Orleans, remember, is a long way from Washington and holds no grudge against slave traders like Spring. To secure the condemnation of the Balliol College, the case must be proved to the hilt and beyond." He tapped the desk. "This man Spring, when he was brought in, what happened? There was a bail bond posted faster than you could sneeze, a surgeon in attendance, more lawyers running about than you'd think existed, and his ship, they couldn't find any papers on her because Spring's damned wife heaved them all overside. So what happens now? But Spring's counsel enter papers to prove she's Mexican-owned, registered in Veracruz, Mexico, and her owner some bloody Dago. Mexico, Lord save us, if there's one place we don't need complications with, it's Mexico. And they know it." "But if she was carrying slaves when they took her," I said, "and had slave gear aboard—"
"Slave gear don't matter. The equipment treaty doesn't hold up in New Orleans, sir. The slaves, they're the thing."
"Well, then—"
"Precisely. There were slaves aboard, and I don't see how they can get round it. Mind you, sir, the lying and trickery that goes on at a slave ship adjudication is something you must see to believe. Oh, they'll fight. They've got Anderson, who's as sharp a mind as ever took a brief, or bribed a witness. He'll try every trick going, and the adjudicator will be leaning his way, remember. But when you take the stand, well, sir, where will they be then?" Where they would be was of small interest to me. Where was Flashy going to be?